This is Jay Sekulow. We discuss the rise of anti-Semitism globally.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about, and some of it, much of it, very disturbing. We're going to deal with a variety of topics today, but I want to first start with this shooting in Poway, California. A 19-year-old man who authorities said gave himself up to police shortly after carrying out a deadly shooting in a Southern California synagogue that was on the Sabbath, Saturday. So it was filled with worshipers. He's under investigation also regarding an unresolved case of arson involving a mosque. They think it's the same guy. He's a white, reportedly a white nationalist, anti the president, anti-Jewish, anti-Muslim. That's what we know right now on this, Jordan.
Yeah, it's why I think that, you know, I see some of these, like the ADL and Anti-Defamation League, try to tie this actually to the president and politics in America. And let's just be honest about it. These people that commit these attacks are neither left nor right. To call them right-wing extremists, I think, is to do a disservice to just a basic political spectrum. These are individuals who dislike the president because of anti-Semitism and his support for Israel. They dislike Muslims because they don't believe Muslims can be good Americans. You know, I mean, it's like the list goes on and on and on about it. They're not even on a normal political spectrum. They are white supremacists. I think that's the fair thing to call them, similar to neo-Nazis. And there is a rise of it around the world. We're now seeing more of it here. It used to be the rise was happening in Western Europe, Eastern, Central, and Western Europe. Now we're seeing it here. This attack on Saturday was 6 months to the day of that even more deadly attack.
Tree of Life.
In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where 11 worshipers were killed, 6 other wounded. That was the deadliest attack against Jews ever on U.S. soil. So this was, again, also came, you know, with Easter weekend. Let's not forget the attacks in Sri Lanka by Islamic extremists. So extremism, certainly a problem, and it's targeting people of faith directly and how we have to kind of move forward. But I think that one of the problems is what has been acceptable political discourse. You've got an example
well,
of in your hand
this as one right
that
here.
Has been allowed to be published in an international New York Times, which goes to the entire world.
Yeah, so the next time the New York Times talks about that, the president or others are using rhetoric that encourages anti-Semitism, here is a picture of a cartoon of a blind President Trump.
The yarmulke.
Wearing a yarmulke, wearing glasses indicating that he has lost his vision, with a dog whose face is Benjamin Netanyahu with the Star of David around the dog's neck. And that basically that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is leading the blind, and the blind is the President of the United States. References to Jews as dogs, and I take this very personally, is outrageous because that's one of the oldest forms of anti-Semitism. And in Europe, the New York Times in Europe did this, and their weak response, we'll talk about this more when we come back from the break, their response is, it was the work of a single editor who was working without adequate oversight and downloaded the syndicated cartoon and made the decision to include it. By the way, on all the pages it went on, the opinion page of the New York Times International.
No explanation. Version. I mean, it didn't even have
no
text
explanation,
with it.
No text with it. A picture of a blind president of the United States, Donald Trump, being led by a dog whose face was Benjamin Netanyahu's. Outrageous? You bet. We'll take your calls and comments on all this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-31 time. And these papers have the nerve to say it's the president or it's Republicans or it's conservatives in doing this. Put that up on the screen again for everybody to see it. You got to point to the evidence on that. The face of Benjamin Netanyahu leading a blind Donald Trump. And Benjamin Netanyahu's face is on the dog, body of a dog with a Star of David. You tell me who's causing the problems here. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge.
Yeah, this is very important. Only 2 days left, today and tomorrow, is to donate to the ACLJ and be part of the matching challenge where your donation is doubled. These are such important times to fund the work of the ACLJ. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation. ACLJ.org. Only 24 hours left to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So we had the horrible synagogue shooting in Southern California at a Chabad synagogue, and one dead, many wounded. We have a New York Times cartoon. I want to put this up on the screen again. It's horrible, but I'm doing it because you need to see the evidence, folks. That is a cartoon of Donald Trump, President of the United States, wearing glasses indicating that he's blind, being led around by a leash of a dog, and the face of the dog is Benjamin Netanyahu, and the dog is wearing a Jewish star. You put Jews and dogs together, it's anti-Semitism that's been utilized by anti-Semites forever. And the rise of anti-Semitism in Europe and around the world is at an unbelievable pitch right now. I mean, unbelievable, the amount of anti-Semitism. In fact, I've thought about, we've talked about internally, it's a lot of it's arriving out of England. We've thought about setting up a center against anti-Semitism right out of Westminster. I mean, I think it's literally that bad. And while the Jewish groups are trying to combat it, I think all of us, and I put myself in the Jewish groups, but since as a Jewish believer in Jesus, I will also say that the Christian community needs to engage this issue. This is very serious. And by the way, the same shooter in the synagogue was also, at least as a suspect, in an arson action against Muslims that were just worshiping at their mosque. Again, not fitting in with ideologies here. But it's a level of hate. Nikki on Facebook said, when will Congress stand up and condemn this discrimination? Really, when are the American people going to stand up? Vice President Pence said, we stand with Israel and we condemn anti-Semitism in all its forms, including at New York Times political cartoons. What was your read of that cartoon, Harry?
Well, my read of the cartoon is that it is clear beyond question that the left, which routinely criticizes the right for all forms of discrimination, is prepared to engage in invidious examples of discrimination when it suits their political purposes. So I think it's the cartoon itself was particularly vile and particularly vicious. It coincides with a shooting at a California synagogue.
Right, what we talk
and
about.
So it's very, very important to put all of this in context. Meanwhile, Senator Ted Cruz and Meghan McCain, who've criticized Representative Ilhan Omar for her anti-Semitism, they are getting slammed. It's time to slam the New York Times.
Yep.
It's time to slam this particular cartoonist who has a history of issuing cartoons with anti-Semitic tropes.
Well, here's the thing. This is, CC, get your reaction to this. This is the statement from the New York Times. We are deeply sorry for the publication of an anti-Semitic political cartoon last Thursday in the print edition of the New York Times that circulates outside the United States. So first of all, they admit, number one, it was an anti-Semitic cartoon. Of all the places it was circulated, it was in the print edition outside the United States, like the last place. No, it shouldn't be anywhere. And we're committed to making sure nothing like this happens again. Such imagery is and always dangerous, and at a time when anti-Semitism is on the rise worldwide, it's all the more unacceptable. They've investigated how this has happened and learned that because of a faulty process, that's what they're blaming it on, a single editor working without adequate oversight downloaded the image. What do you think?
Well, you know, the New York Times didn't just start yesterday. So a faulty process, I mean, they have processes in place, and that's a cop-out is what it is. And I agree with Harry. I mean, the New York Times is always claiming that conservatives are the hateful and intolerant people.
We're the ones stoking this.
Absolutely. And here they have a cartoon like this, which is hateful and intolerant.
Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who has not been afraid to call out Ilhan Omar and others, he wrote that, quote, even if unintentional, the left in America has normalized anti-Semitism under the guise of criticizing U.S.-Israel foreign policy. It's exactly what this cartoon, which went a step further in its anti-Semitism with the depiction of Netanyahu as a dog, with putting a yarmulke on a blinded President Trump. But again, it is trying to normalize anti-Semitism under the guise of criticizing U.S. and Israel foreign policy. And New York Times, you know, they apologized for this. Just 2 days later, there's an attack on a synagogue in the United States where a woman is killed, three are injured, including the rabbi there, lost a finger in the incident as one of the members dived on top of him. I think that was the person who was killed. That could have been the gun jammed, so it could have been much worse. It was a 19-year-old. What the congressman said is absolutely right. When you start normalizing anti-Semitism under criticizing U.S. foreign policy, I mean, see, this becomes not just criticizing U.S. and Israel foreign policy. This is the exact merger we've talked about of.
Yep.
This cartoon, I think, speaks volumes to when we say that the anti-Israel statements are just a way to be anti-Semitic without saying you don't like Jews right up front. I mean, basically, and this is the depiction of it in cartoon form, if you want to call it that. I think though that it's right to play what though I don't agree with everything that ADL has said about this. What Jonathan Greenblatt said, let's put this up while we play what Jonathan Greenblatt said on CNN by 30.
Let's stop dignifying it as a cartoon. Mm. It, like you said, it is propaganda. It wouldn't surprise me if this was published out of Tehran or Damascus, but it doesn't belong in the New York Times or any credible media outlet.
So I'm going to get it for our TV audience, and we're going to use this episode on our television broadcast, our weekly broadcast. I think it's that important. Let me tell you something. We have fought on this aggressively. I mean, we've been at the United Nations where we've been fighting BDS, or the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction, which is another form of anti-Semitism. I've spoken before the UN a couple of times, once at the General Assembly. And we are litigating the case right now, by the way. We've got a case in litigation right now in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia that we're litigating on this issue of this kind of anti-Semitism, where these Palestinian groups bringing these charges. And the Palestinians leadership may be laughing about this. When you put a picture of a Jewish person face on a dog with a Jewish star, that would have been bad enough, by the way. And then, of course, you make it worse by having him leading, you know, the so-called blind president. But this is it's anti-Semitism at its highest form. And the New York Times put it out there with this weak apology, blaming, as Cece said, a staff member who wasn't supervising. You know, this paper, as you said, Cece, has been around a long time.
Right.
Like 150 years, maybe more. You'd think they'd have a process to not let an editor pick a picture, a so-called political cartoon, to go on their opinion page of all pages. That's the opinion of the paper throughout Europe. There's no good place to put anti-Semitism. That's number one. There's no place where this would be acceptable. But having it in the European edition only makes it worse. It would have been horrific here. It's even more horrific there. And the New York Times' weak condemnation is ridiculous, repulsive. So the next time they blame conservatives for stoking the fuel or the anti-Semitism, physician, heal thyself, is what they need to be reminded of. You know they had processes in place. Now, I'm not going to say that they this was an intentional move by everybody at the New York Times, but it was an intentional move by somebody who had somebody that had enough authority, CeCe, to take a picture, a cartoon, syndicated cartoon, political cartoon, and stick it on the opinion page of the New York Times. That has to be a pretty senior person.
That's right. And it's not a mistake.
Of course
not. It was done intentionally. So, yeah, they're sorry afterwards, but they should have been sorry before. They had a process in place. They should have censored this beforehand. It should have never made it to the newspaper.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, let's go to Amy in New Jersey on line one. Amy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. I don't know how to say this, but, you know, I'm a frustrated Jew because I don't see Jews waking up. They're going to still blame this on conservatism, right-wing ideology. You still hear them saying that Hitler was right-wing. There's a lack of education until the Jews start realizing that it's the left-wing people that are the hateful ones that are pushing this, and they keep voting for the Democrats that aren't calling this stuff out. The rabbis in the synagogue are not saying anything. I don't support the ADL. I believe the ADL is dangerous because they're not waking up Jewish people. You have Jews that don't want, they think they're afraid of the Second Amendment. They don't want to arm themselves in a synagogue to protect themselves. I just think there's a lack of education.
Well, look, here's what I think it is. I don't cast blame like friends of mine on the left tend to do. But when you've got people like Ilhan Omar and others that are making these statements, I'm not going to blame the entire Democratic Party for their statements. I don't think that's right either. But you can blame the individual. Like you can blame
blame Nancy Pelosi for not coming down. She's as responsible for what Ilhan Omar says as Ilhan Omar is, because she is the leader. She can take her off the Foreign Affairs Committee, and Elliot Engel is just as responsible. He is basically, by not taking action to remove her from the Foreign Affairs Committee, is uttering her words. So shame on all of them. It's not every Democrat, but certainly the leaders who have the power to take her down a notch and make her a freshman member with no influence. Instead, they keep letting her get away with statements, which is exactly what we're talking about here. Is that this is anti-Semitism cloaked in anti-Zionism.
Yeah. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, your calls, 1-800-684-3110. What's your reaction to this rise of anti-Semitism? What do you think should be done about it? 1-800-684-3110. I'll tell you what we're doing about it. We're fighting it in court. We're fighting it at the United Nations. We're fighting it through our offices in Europe. We're fighting it through our offices in Jerusalem. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to do all of that. So I want to encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We're in a matching challenge. We want to let you know what you can do to participate.
Go to ACLJ.org. Right on the homepage, you will see matching challenge right on the top. Whatever you donate today or tomorrow, and that's it. So you've got about 24 hours, is doubled. So you double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. Critical time for us.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. During the break, I just asked Harry about their. I said to him that there was no excuse for this, and Professor Hutchinson had a very powerful statement on this, and I think you need to hear it. So, again, I'm going to ask this for our radio audience so you can hear it as well. And we're taking your calls also, 800-684-3110. And that is, Harry, there is no excuse for this. This is, I mean, even what the New York Times says an excuse is ridiculous. But you said that the drawing this distinction between anti-Zionism and anti Semitism is a very thin line.
Absolutely. So we live in a world in which the left often wraps its rhetoric in the rhetoric of anti-Zionism. In reality, of course, the distinction between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism operates as a distinction without a difference. Essentially, anti-Zionism has been transmuted into one thing and one thing only, and that is intolerance and bigotry, which is unacceptable on either the left or the right. And so it's very, very important to call out all of the purveyors, including the New York Times, of this form of bigotry.
So, Cece, you ran for Congress a number of years ago, and you've got these congressmen and women that are making statements, like Jordan said, that the leadership is not really holding them accountable to. They'll make a general denial statement on anti-Semitism, but you got Representative Tlaib, Representative Omar making anti-Semitic statements, and they kind of get away with it.
Right. If there's no punishment for bad actions, then they will continue. And that's where Jordan is absolutely correct. If you don't have leadership telling them that this is unacceptable and it's not right, especially from a congressman, then they're going to keep doing it. You're not going to have any accountability, and then they get away with it. It's just like a child who's not, you know, being disciplined. If they get away with it, they keep doing it. And we're seeing that they're getting away with it, and these kind of statements keep happening. We know the UN goes after, you know, Israel and Jewish people. So do universities in the United States. And now we see the New York Times doing it, and it keeps growing.
All right, so I'm going to play for you. I normally don't, but I will. Brian Stetler from CNN, I think his show is Reliable Sources. This is what he had to say about the New York Times, a paper he worked at.
The New York Times is a great newspaper. I used to work there. Yeah. But this is inexcusable. This was something that was straight out of Nazi propaganda. And the idea that any editor there, even some obscure editor in some far-flung office, would see this and think it was appropriate is shocking. And I'm glad there's been this level of concern and condemnation all the way from the prison on down around the world, because the Times needs to be held accountable on this.
And then here's the president that Brian Stelter's commenting on, President Trump, condemning what happened in the synagogue shooting as well. I think, you know, Vice President Pence has condemned the right specific imagery. Here's President Trump.
America's heart is with the victims of the horrific synagogue shooting in Poway. Our entire nation mourns the loss of life, prays for the wounded, and stands in solidarity with the Jewish community.
And this is on the same weekend where the liberal media is still trying to go after President Trump on Charlottesville and Robert E. Lee, and even the distinction he made between Robert E. Lee being a good general, military mind versus who he was as a person, and they were going after Kellyanne Conway this weekend on it. And it is the liberal media's shining star, the New York Times, which has this international edition, which, as you said, is even worse because that is where the anti-Semitism is growing at an even more rapid speed, that has its editor choose to include this.
Editor for the opinion page. I mean, they can't blame this on low-level editor. This editor had the authority to take it and put it in. Yeah. What is a low-level editor at the New York Times?
No, there isn't one. I mean, there's the international editors may not get as much attention here in the U.S., but I bet if you actually look at circulation, the international New York Times is much bigger than, like, kind of like how CNN International
is bigger than CNN. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take another call. 800-684-3110.
Yeah. William in Georgia online, too. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, William.
Hey, Jay, hey, Jordan. God bless you guys. Here's my question I got. This is a real quick, this might be a question for you. Would there be any consequential political ramification for those who actually promote these anti-Semitic acts and these pictures that they're doing on there, as well as the ones that are supporting this?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, what are the political ramifications of this? I mean, Cece was kind of, you were kind of addressing that, that if the leadership doesn't take action on its members, it's hard to say there's any real political consequence. Right. Now, what it may give pause to is members that would are leaning Democratic on these particular issues or on these statements that Ilhan Omar and Tlaib are making. Maybe it causes them to pause. But are there any real consequences without
I would
if
say,
there's no consequence to their bad acts,
right?
What happens?
I would say then ballot box. Then it goes to the hands of the people. Right. And the people need to rise up and say, vote, whether they approve of these anti-Semitic statements or whether they don't. They need to use their vote to get these people out. If the leadership is not going to condemn and have these people, you know, take accountability for their actions, then it needs to be at the ballot box.
So, Harry, I've thought about this. Is the reason they're not doing what Cece said, which is to, you know, condemn it, say, with actions, not just words, because they're afraid of the left flank of that party?
Absolutely. So I think the Democratic Party in particular has become dominated and controlled by the left-wingers in their midst. And I think, for instance, the House leadership, including Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, they are literally afraid of the reaction from the left. And so in some respects, the left-wingers in the Democratic Party have hijacked the entire party, and so the Democratic Party message increasingly features intolerant attacks on Jews for political purposes. And Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer appear powerless in the face of these Twitter attacks, many of which are incoherent, they're nasty, and they feature all forms of many forms of intolerance and bigotry.
I want to play Rabbi Israel Goldstein's statement to the press just yesterday.
You're listening to a rabbi that today could have been my funeral. What happened on Saturday morning, the unthinkable, the unfathomable, where I faced death face to face. This is not supposed to happen. This isn't Nazi Germany. This isn't a pogrom. This is right here, Poway. This is our home. This building that we built is supposed to be full of love. This building that we built was supposed to be able to share kindness and love with each other. What is happening?
What is happening is there's a rise of anti-Semitism globally, and we don't allow a political accountability or even legal accountability on some of these issues. And there is a left wing of a political party right now that is pitching this anti-Semitism motive, anti-Semitism approach, and the leadership of this political party is afraid to take it on.
Yeah,
that's what this is.
And instead, try to push it onto the.
That's what it is.
Put it onto a blame the conservative president for it when they've got a radical Muslim congresswoman calling out Jews as much as she can, and sitting on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and Elliot Engel and Nancy Pelosi try to say, well, she's one of three. But they do nothing to condemn her. They couldn't get the condemnation through their own party. It's why Joe Biden's going to have a tough time getting the nomination. Yep. Because, again, this is the party of even where this was under Barack Obama is a different party. He may have taken it more to the left, but it has now gotten extreme. It's gotten college liberal extreme, yep. Professor. Like that level, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-American.
All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. More on this conversation, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Rise of anti-Semitism. You had the synagogue shooting in Poway, California, leaving one dead, multiple wounded by I don't put them in political parties because they're not. This guy hated Trump. He hated Muslims, too. He suspected of arson of a mosque. You had the killing in the mosques, and then you had the killing in the churches, and now you've got the New York Times, who wants to blame conservatives for everything, including anti-Semitism. I want to put this picture up for our television audience, and I'm going to explain it to our radio audience. It is a political quote cartoon of Donald Trump wearing glasses as if he's blind, being pulled around by a dog that happens to be, what kind of dog? A dachshund, whose face of the dog is Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of the state of Israel, whose leash and collar is a Jewish star. And the New York Times said, yes, it's anti-Semitic. We're deeply sorry for the publication of an anti-Semitic political cartoon. I'm going to stop right there. Who in the world in this day and time would allow this to happen? The fact that they've got to issue this kind of apology, I want to apologize. We are deeply sorry for the publication of an anti-Semitic political cartoon last Thursday. What would happen if this was an anti-Islamic cartoon? Would they just issue this tepid response? And then they blame it, which is always what these organizations do. We've investigated how this happened and learned that because of a faulty process, and as Cece pointed out, for a newspaper that's been around for 167 years.
Right. They didn't just start yesterday. I mean, it might be if they've only been operating for about a week, I would believe that. Hey, we don't have our processes in place, you know. But that is ridiculous to claim that. And let me just say, any editor, just as Brian stated, who used to work there, he or she knew better. They knew better.
They wanted to do this.
Exactly. It was an intentional choice,
Jordan,
absolutely,
for them to do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was an anti-Israel statement, anti-Semitic statement, and anti-Trump statement.
And we all know from newspapers, once it gets out there, the apologies never matter. So
they blamed it on a single editor who could put a political cartoon on their New York Times International
edition. They didn't say the editor got fired. They didn't say the whole staff. They didn't say they'll never utilize that cartoonist again or stop syndicating his cartoons, make sure he doesn't get paid a single dime for his cartoons. No, they don't do that. Instead, this editor and got exactly what he wanted, or she wanted, whoever it was, they got it in there. And even if they knew that maybe the newspaper would get condemned and then the newspaper would have to issue a statement, those statements are never as important because the image is what got to the world. Do you think as many people in the world are going to see the blip of the New York Times saying we're sorry about it? No. Unless the outrage builds from today on, unless we continue the outrage. There's an Israeli cartoonist who showed what the New York Times really did, and it's got a dog that is the Protocols of the Elders of Zion with a BDS collar on, and it's the New York Times that is blind, being led by that dog.
Do we have that picture?
That's in the Jerusalem Post.
I don't know if we have access to it, but maybe we do.
I could send it to Will. I mean, I'm just saying there is happening in Israel.
Yes, that's coming back. That's the Jerusalem Post pushing back.
Yeah,
I want the New York Times to say. I want the editor, the publisher of the New York Times to say, this was horrific. We have fired the people responsible. This does not represent the position of the New York Times. We do not believe that Benjamin Netanyahu is a dog leading around a blind president of the United States wearing a Star of David collar. That's what I want to hear the New York Times say. Not, we're blaming this on a single editor working without adequate oversight. By the way, a single editor who had the authority to put a political cartoon without oversight on the opinion page of the international edition of the New York Times. Think about that one for a few minutes. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Look, American Center for Law and Justice, we are fighting anti-Semitism every way we can. At the United Nations, we're fighting against BDS. In federal court, in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, we're fighting against Palestinian activists who are condemning Israel's right to exist, basically, pursuant to their lawsuit. Lawfare. In our office in Jerusalem, we're fighting back. At the UN, we are fighting back, and we're not going to stop. And what this does is make us even more committed to it. This is an outrage. No one should allow this to take place, and there must be accountability. We'll be back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back. 1-800-684-3110, the rise of anti-Semitism. Harry, give us your kind of overview analysis of how serious of a problem this is, and we're going to get to some calls.
Well, I think this is an incredibly serious problem. We should put this problem in context. We should put this problem in the context of a worldwide phenomena of rising anti-Semitism. And so if you look, for instance, at Great Britain, the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, he is an anti-Semite, plain and simple. And if we look at the New York Times, we should note that the New York Times needs to apologize, but they need to apologize for more than a mistake by a single editor or for an editorial process. They need to apologize for more than this particular cartoon. Why is that? This cartoonist has a history of despicable and vile behavior that goes back at least to 1983. And so the New York Times continued, as I understand it, to employ this individual for almost 40 years. And so the claim that this was a simple mistake by a single editor, I think that is nonsense. And so, again, let's put this in context. The New York Times is prepared to use anti-Semitism when it advances the New York Times' political agenda.
All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Linda in California on line one. Linda, welcome to JSecuLive.
Hey, Linda, go ahead.
Linda? All the lines just dropped again when we took a call.
So all right, so it's called a technical glitch in our phone system. What's happening is on sometimes when we take a call, then the phones drop. So that phone just dropped. So I will, what Linda was talking about was just kind of what are the action points here? Is this something, look, Congress can hold its own members accountable. They're not. I told you the reason they're not. The New York Times could do something other than blaming it on a lone editor. They're not. Okay, so let's be clear with what's...
They're not going to say have to.
No.
They're not going to take
no.
it a step further.
And then in Europe, it's in vogue to be anti-Semitic. Again, we've been through this before in recent history, and it appears to be the case again. Now, the difference is you've got a state of Israel, and you've got leadership in the United States that's not going to tolerate anti-Semitism. But I think, look, if you look at our nation's university campuses right now, CeCe was talking about this during the break. I mean, the fact is, how many cases have we had? I mean, I think probably a half dozen, maybe more, students, professors... that are being harassed because they're pro-Israel or Jewish.
And it's okay. They think it's okay because these universities and the United Nations, they have gotten away with it for years and years.
We just had, you asked, we had a recent case. Yes, Emory University.
Yeah.
Emory University had authorized with their signature in the residential dorms for students, the Social Justice for Palestine students, to put eviction notices up on Jewish students' dorm rooms with Emory seal of approval on it. Because to make them know what it feels like to be taken out of your own land. Emory apologized, but have they done anything? Is there accountability? And how in the world did the seal of Emory University, which, by the way, used to have when I went there, a pretty high Jewish population. How did that happen? All right, let's go ahead and take a call.
Back to the phones we go. Bill in Wyoming. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bill.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Just a real quick thought. Wonder how many of these newspapers, how many editors do they have to begin with? Now, my statement, which...
let me just say one thing there. The New York Times, a lot. But to have the authority to pull something out of a syndication column, which is this was a syndicated political cartoon, and put it on the opinion page of the New York Times International Edition, you have to have a lot of authority. But go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to make a statement which I would pose as a question to the whole panel. It seems to me that people have, we have an attitude there in Congress right now that if I get elected, I can go up there, stand on my soapbox, and say anything horrendous and get away with it. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean,
well, it depends on who you're saying it about.
It depends on who you're saying about and which party you're at.
I mean, if you're a Republican and you say something wrong, and like Steve King is a good example of it, you are stripped of your committee. They can't unelect you. You can still run for Congress, but you can have no influence in Congress. And you can debate wrong or right about that, but that is a swift move, always by Republicans, I say. Always swift. Even when sometimes questionable. I'm not saying it was a Steve King matter. I'm saying even when it's sometimes questionable, they are swift to disempower those who have made comments, who have abused their official office to make comments which could be seen as racist or anti-Semitic or anything that offends the conscience of the American people to the point where we believe it's, you know, as a nation, it is wrong and reprehensible. Republicans are always quick. Sometimes they're criticized for being too quick to condemn their own, too quick to censure their own. Here, no one is saying that Democrats need to remove Ilhan Omar from office. You know what? Let voters decide. If that district in Minnesota wants to keep electing an anti-Semite congresswoman, they can. But Nancy Pelosi doesn't have to give her powerful committee chairs like the Foreign Affairs Committee. Elliot Engel, as the chairman of the committee, doesn't have to go along with it. She would be, her influence would drop so dramatically if she was removed from a Foreign Affairs Committee where she gets classified briefings on American foreign policy, because she'd just be another one of the 435 members of Congress, many of which are kind of nutty, I'll be honest with you. Many of which are pretty nutty, and you don't hear from much because of that. They're just kind of written off as, you know, people don't pay enough close attention to who they're electing. You don't have to empower. And that is why you don't see 435 members of Congress on television. You see the handful that are decided to be empowered. Now, sometimes the media will try to take a outlier like Ilhan Omar and push them out because it's an interesting story. That gave the Nancy Pelosi's of the world an opportunity to dismiss her as a influential member of the party. And instead, they did not. They could not even get a condemnation together. And so they're allowing her to continue to spread out. And I think, when you look at the attacks, I think it's really, I said this during one of our breaks when we were even on Facebook, we were running an ad at the concert tomorrow night, which is at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook, the Jay Sekulow page. And the Democrat Party, I was watching, it was the first night of Passover, you know, Friday, so Good Friday also. And then it was Saturday. And listen, people are busy and we're doing other things, not always, all religious things during those days. But then Saturday, again, you know, you get the Passover, then of course Easter Sunday. And the Democrats were out there campaigning like normal. Like it was totally normal for Good Friday and Saturday. So start beginning of Passover and Good Friday. I feel like, you know, unless you are a kind of Muslim extremist like Ilhan Omar, it's just become like an anti-religious party. Yeah. Some of that may be because even the Joe Biden types have gotten The Catholic Church has said, you know, it's really not appropriate for you to be taking communion when you have these views on abortion. They've said that to Nancy Pelosi and others. So their own religious movements have said, you know, you can't have this both ways. You can't say, as a Catholic, I believe this, but as a life begins at conception, as Joe Biden says, and as a politician, I am not going to vote that way. So I think that anti-religious sentiment also fuels these radical attacks. Yep. Because you see these religious people as outliers in the community instead of being the mainstream, which is in America most are people of faith.
Now, I'm glad that CNN condemned it. I am glad that Brian Seltzer went on there and said those things. But, you know, there's got to be more hairy than that for this to have an impact. That there appears to be no consequence.
I think that is precisely correct. And so what we need is a bipartisan movement by both Democrats and Republicans to condemn these outrageous attacks. And it's very, very important to note that these attacks continue not necessarily only at the New York Times, but they include anti-Semitism on university campuses. In today's news package, there was a news story indicating that 3,000 students at DePaul University sought university censure for Jason Hill, a Jamaican-American. Why? Because he supports Israeli sovereignty over lands captured as a result of a war commenced by the surrounding Arab nations. These students sought to label Professor Hill a racist for supporting Israel. In reality, this is anti-Semitism, plain and simple. So it's important to note that we need to oppose with every fiber of our being what's going on at the New York Times, but also what is going on university campuses from New York to California.
All right, we're taking a break. We're coming back with calls for you from you, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So we want to hear what you have to say about all of these topics. Again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We also want to encourage you to get your comments or questions in by Facebook or Periscope. It's another great way to do it. Vicky on Facebook said, how many times has the New York Times claimed that the entire right is racist, yet they print this cartoon? Great point by Vicky. All right, we're taking a break. We come back your calls, but don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ.
This is the time to do it. In the next 24 hours, our matching challenge will end. So you've got about 24 hours today and tomorrow to donate and have your donation doubled. Whatever you donate online at ACLJ.org, we've got a donor ready to match that donation. A lot of you have responded. More will. ACLJ.org. This is the time to donate and support the work of the American Service Law.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today.
You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Tomorrow at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, we're going to be going live on Facebook and Periscope. Our band is going to be performing a concert celebrating our last day of our matching challenge. Got a lot of new tunes in the mix, and the whole band's going to be here. Jordan asked, is the whole band going to be here? The whole band's going to be here. So we encourage you to be part of that fun evening tomorrow night as we celebrate the last hours of our matching challenge campaign. All right, we're going to go to the phones in the last segment. 800-684-3110. Let's do it.
John in Washington State online too. John, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, John.
Hi. Thank you so much for all the wonderful work that you do on behalf of all that's righteous.
Thanks.
And just I'm so saddened by this attack on by these terrorists. And I'm also saddened more than disappointed at the anti-Semitic rhetoric nonsense that came from the New York Times.
Cece?
Yeah. Well, I'm saddened, too, even by their lame apology, because as I read it, what's missing is actually the most important part. They say they're deeply sorry for the publication of anti-Semitic political cartoon and that they're committed to making sure nothing like this ever happens again. But what they don't say is that it's not their position. They don't say that we are condemning this and we are going to fire this editor because he does not speak for us. This is not the position of the New York Times. They don't say any of that. They just say, oh, they're saddened.
It is anti-Semitic.
They're going to make sure that it doesn't ever happen again. Well, it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Yeah, also, this is like the blaming the editor. By the way, this editor couldn't have been such a low-level editor if he or she had the authority to take something out of a syndicated political cartoonist, put it on the opinion page of the New York Times International, Harry. That's a lot of authority. A lot of authority.
Absolutely. So I think we should start and reemphasize Cece's point. There's an absence of real consequences with respect to the apology. So they should have accompanied the apology with the fact or the notice that they had indeed fired the editor, that they had indeed fired the cartoonist, that they had indeed fired each and every staffer who shared these same anti-Semitic sentiments. Instead, as Cece rightly points out, they issued an extremely lame excuse. And this follows a distinguished pattern, the pattern that includes Nancy Pelosi. Yes, we want to condemn in the broadest terms possible anti-Semitism, but we don't want to do anything about it. So there were absolutely no consequences for Representative Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitic comments, and she is still a member of Congress. She is still on a House committee, and the Democratic leadership has done nothing. So the key issue here is the absence of consequences. And without consequences, these apologies are simply lame.
At the same time, same weekend that this is running, and the shooting is happening at the synagogue in California, it is President Trump and his advisors who are the neo-Nazis. I mean, that's what they're basically saying, that they are the dog whistlers, they are the extremists, they are the problem, and yet they are running the most anti-Semitic imagery right out of Nazi propaganda. As Brian Seltzer said from CNN, who used to work at the New York Times. Here's the rabbi again. He spoke to President Trump. He called into MSNBC about this, actually. The rabbi did. So I'm sure they were a bit surprised because he spoke to President Trump. He talks about how, I don't know if we have it in this clip, but he said he spoke to the president for almost an hour. It's not in our clip, but this is, I think, the key part, Byte 14.
I received a personal phone call from our president, Donald Trump. He shared with me condolences on behalf of the United States of America, and he spoke about his love of peace and Judaism and Israel, and he was just so comforting that I'm really grateful to our president for taking the time and making that effort to share with us his comfort and consolation.
president has Jewish grandchildren. So let me tell you, it's and as I can relate.
I will say too, as you know, it's the rabbi there. He does not make that distinction like they always try to make between being anti-Israel. He says the Judaism and Israel.
Right.
The president spoke about his love for.
They always try to separate that out and say you can be anti-Zionist, but this is what not anti-Israel,
is
that,
but that, this is, anti-Jewish. This is but that's now not the true. Anti-Semitism. Being spread around the world under what it started out as a cloak of being anti-Zionist. And now I think they're just letting their true selves be
shown. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because now that I'm trying to really do
that. Well, just think about this for a moment. What possessed the New York Times to think that would... Why was that appropriate under any circumstance?
During Passover?
The last days of Passover. Yeah. This is, you know, Passover's a seven-day holiday. Who in the New York Times thought, I've got a great idea. Let's take this political cartoon that shows a Jewish leader as a dog, that his collar is a Star of David, leading a blind president of the United States.
With a yarmulke.
And the president of the United States is wearing a yarmulke. And they thought this was okay. I mean, just let that sink in for a minute. They thought this was okay. And that should tell you what we're dealing with. Let's take another call.
Yeah, Linda in California, online one. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Linda.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's same, you know, the frustration and of how you see the double standard, you know, how they just, they know they get away with it. That's why they do it. You know, if it would have been another, on the other side, it would have been like all hell breaks loose. And, you know, consequences, people get fired, condemned, and everything. But in this side, you know, we don't hear anything, you know, from, you know, just like a lame excuse.
The New York Times says they're sorry. But I want to say this, and I think it's worth playing again. Let's play Brian Seltzer, CNN. This is CNN, guy that worked for the New York Times. I think it's worth playing it again.
The New York Times is a great newspaper. I used to work there. Yeah. But this is inexcusable. This was something that was straight out of Nazi propaganda. And the idea that any editor there, even some obscure editor in some far-flung office, would see this and think it was appropriate is shocking. And I'm glad there's been this level of concern and condemnation all the way from the prison on down around the world, because the Times needs to be held accountable on this.
The fact that any editor with the New York Times thought this was appropriate. Let that sink in for a moment. Someone that had editorial authority from the New York Times, the authority to take a syndicated political cartoonist imagery and place it on the opinion page of the New York Times International Edition, which is probably the largest international newspaper in the world. And he thought that was okay, or she. We don't know if it's a man or a woman. And they thought that was okay. That's what you've got to be thinking about. Why would that imagery, put it up on the screen again, why would this imagery be okay in any circumstance? The leader of the Jewish peoples, the Jewish state, Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, is the face of a dachshund. The collar tag is a Star of David. The leash is connected to the President of the United States, who has glasses on as if he is blind, wearing a yarmulke. And somebody at the New York Times thought this was okay. Not just somebody. Somebody that had the authority to take it from a syndicated artist's rendering, that's what these are, syndicated political cartoons, and stick it on the opinion page of the New York Times. Shame on the New York Times. Shame on all of us to let this go without any kind of repercussion. The repercussion needs to be serious here, and that is the New York Times owns more than an apology. Okay? Action needs to be taken. We'll see if they do it in the days ahead. We'll be back with more tomorrow. Don't forget the matching challenge at the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.